Hopefully mine's okay too.
I didn't even know you had one on. There you go. So that's good. Sweet. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. So Grok and I were comparing fans. I hope everyone's doing well on this extremely hot day. Now, I know we said a couple of weeks ago that we were done for the year, but I had mistakenly forgot our Festivus show. But we take aim. It's just groups of people left, right, and center. No one is off limits in the Festivus where we can air our grievances, plus a few other things. So I'm sure CB will take the lead on that in a moment's time. But we obviously have the absolute full crew on board tonight, which is very, very exciting. CB, welcome back, mate. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, mate. Happy Festivus to everybody and all our viewers out there. It's been a long year, and I've got a lot of problem with all you people.
That's it. And we're about to tee off in not too long. It'll be not too long till we start teeing off. We'll get that out. EJ, welcome back, mate. Loving the background.
Yeah, evening. I wonder why that's there. I've got no idea.
No, I'm sure that may get a mention at some point.
Yeah, it should be a bit of fun.
And Grok, welcome back to you, mate.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Merry Christmas, guys. And yeah, looking forward to it tonight. Should be good.
Merry Festivus. And of course, the man on the... Well, he's the bottom left on my screen. I'm not sure what it's like for everyone else's screen. But Tiggs is back on board for a little stint. Tiggs, how are you, mate? You're looking very nice.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm a lot better. I really wanted to hop on and... let the community know that, you know, I've missed you all. Some of you have been really kind enough to DM me just to see how I'm going, and I really appreciate it. But I'm over the worst of it, I reckon, now. I've accepted this is probably my new normal with this cognitive stuff for the time being anyway, so no point to bitch and moan about it. So I'm in a good place mentally. And I'll be back at the season. I'm doing everything I can to be 100% for next year season, you know, because I want to see those beautiful 8 boys that were recruited and see Uze actually start to implement a game plan and see that blossom. But no, but on a serious note, I wanted to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and let you know I'm still alive and I'm still really keen to fully participate in the show next year.
No, we appreciate you jumping on board. And as EJ mentioned before we went live, that you know, it's probably the first time since we've seen you in a long time that you definitely do look a lot less stressed. You look a lot more relaxed and at ease and comfortable. And you were telling us that you've just started going to the gym with your son, which is awesome too.
Yeah. No, I want to get rid of the – it's funny, and probably someone in our audience might be going through it, but I've never had depression or mental – anything. I'm as probably blue collar as you can find, right? If you haven't guessed that by now. And this injury and going through everything that I've gone through, I didn't realize I was actually depressed. Because I can't do shit I used to do before, and I got caught up in that little, you know, like with my speech. But anyway, so. What stepped out of it is I got really disappointed because I've never been 94 kilos before and I'm 94 now. And my son said to me, "Now let me take you to the gym." And I've been doing that. It's mentally refreshed me. I've been seeing, you know, support. I've had a lot of help. And now I accept where I am. You know, I am still the same bloke. It's just I can't talk as fast as I used to, and I'm not as quick as I was with some things. But that's not bad. You know, let's look at the big side, you know. No, I won't say a dirty joke, but it's all good. Yeah, so I know people were really worried that, you know, like about me, and I'm not a typer. That's why I don't really do Twitter much anymore. I'm more of a talker. So I wanted to get on and say, you know, love you all, and I do really appreciate everything you've done. And I weighed myself this morning, and within a week and a half since I've been doing the gym, I've lost 5 kilos. So
very good. No, it's good. All the family, we're right behind you, mate. Now, you did mention, I don't want to put you under too much pressure, but you did mention the fantastic 8 that have joined the club. Is there any of the new draftees in particular that have caught your attention that you're keen on seeing?
I'm really spewing. I missed that show because I just had treatment and I was wrecked. But yeah, Smiley for me is the one that I really wanted. Label is going to be great. He's going to be a gun. All the kids will be a gun. But there were two particular ones that I wanted was our second and third round pick. The second round pick I wanted because of his size. He's the prototype. when we pick kids, I like to look, think about what the game's going to be in the next 5 to 7 to 10 years, and he's the he's going to be the standard midfielder type.
He's frozen.
The Rock's internet is the Rock's internet has done him dirty.
You know, seeing the vids from the club. Yeah, he's brilliant. And the second thing is, I've forgotten his name. Sorry, it's. But the third kid we picked, the one with the knee injury.
Tosh.
Yeah, he's our X Factor, boys. He's we've lost Shai Bolton, but yeah, this kid could be anything. If his knee comes up, he's an astute pick.
Hey, mate, you can call him whatever you like now. Shy
I might call him Hot Dog. But yeah, he's dead set. He's dead set someone I'm really excited for. All the boys, you know, we got the big forward that I really wanted in. What was it? That's a fourth round pick. Sorry, this is how my brain works. So I apologise. Yeah. The fourth round pick. Really stoked about that. We've got a Lynch clone, I reckon. Yeah. So all good. Very happy.
No, very nice. No, I'm definitely very happy as well with the players that we've picked up. So, well, we'll roll into it. So we're going to talk about pre-season for a little bit first. So basically everyone's flying, everyone's cherry ripe and we're good to go. But no, in all seriousness, it's, I think for me, one of the big takeaways I've had so far is seeing players like Prestia and Lynch competing at a really good level at this stage of pre-season. It's probably something we haven't seen the last couple of years. I know Lynch is probably still on a slightly modified program. But it's just good to see some of those elder statesmen out there, and to even hear someone like Jacob Blight mentioning Broad and McIntosh as well as players he's looking up to with their work rate and things like that. It's been really good to see. Is CB copping a spray in chat, is he?
Yeah, I know all your pricks have started laughing. Get stuffed.
I actually think those glasses give him a little bit of a Mark Scaife look for those that are into their touring cars.
The only reason I could read the insults in the comments is I'm wearing those things.
I forgot to mention, just one of the people in chat said it, and I can't believe I must have a brain injury for not to mention. Can I just say to Snake Baker, mate, suck it, right? That trade from North is just like, I know you guys are disgusted and everything, but it's remiss of me if I don't go on and express my joy. I even said to the missus, let's have a fifth kid. I was that happy. It was just such a stupidity from that club to think they're going to be anything above bottom three to trade and give us their first round pick for next year. It just tells you miracles do happen and people can be that stupid. So thank you, Rawlings. And Thirstfield, I know you never forgot us, bro, and you did it out of love. So peace out. So good.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about having him there as an inside man, potentially breaking them down internally. But
the funniest thing about that trait, though, is all the North supporters trying to defend it on X and Twitter. A lot of them were happy with it. And I'm like,
to be fair, Grok, if I actually put a neutral hat on, they had to, and EJ will say the same, they had to find a way. They had like the top 10 and then nothing till 60. They had to find a way to get in there, and we had the leverage. So it was great.
And that's where they screwed themselves with the Caleb Daniel for pick 25 trade, though.
Yep.
That's I think, EJ, you might have mentioned this. Oh, you go.
All I'll say, there's a great Australian, the late, great Kerry Packer. And I don't know if you remember that he sold a business to a certain bloke from Western Australia and then bought it back less than half price a couple of years later when it went bust. You only get one Alan Bond in your lifetime, and I've had mine. You only get one North in your lifetime, and we've had ours.
But no, we'll take their first round pick every day of the week. Pre-season, gents, anyone been watching along all the training reports and the videos? Again, I do want to shout out to the club social media team for putting up a lot more content this year, which has been really, really good for everyone to follow. But has anyone seen any standouts, any things you've liked or not liked from the pre-season clips and reports we've seen so far?
Can I just say this on the membership side of things? We just come off our worst year since 93, whenever it was. 2004. whenever we won our last spoon. We're already 2,000 members ahead of last year, this time last year. So our membership department and what the media is doing is clearly working. So massive props to the Tigers and to the Tiger Army for sticking fat and getting on this year. Well done.
They're selling the right
message. Yeah, good call.
Yeah. Did you say, Michael, anything in particular about the new recruits that stands out?
Oh, about any, whether they're old players, new players, whatever it might be. Yeah. Has there been something from pre-season that you really liked?
So there was – I did say, you know, like I like Smiley because we needed size and blah, blah, blah and all that sort of stuff. I discussed this with Tiggs. There was one bit of footage where Smiley got the ball and he was under pressure and he handballed it inside after being called. And if you slow down the footage, he's got the ball in the wrong hand and he switches it like that and the ball is gone. So what I really loved was the speed and the cleanliness of the hands. That really stood out to me. But you go back and watch, everyone knows the bit of vision I'm talking about. You go back and watch, he actually swaps hands. In that half second, he's got it. Amazing.
I think what people need
just
to
just a segue
do...
on that. Sorry, mate, you go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, just reading a couple of boards, people just need to calm down a little bit. It's only December, and people are sort of in a panic about who's in the rehab group and supposedly who hasn't started running and who hasn't been seen. And just, guys, just pop a couple of Valiums, have a bloody Bex and a lie down, relax. It's all managed pre-season, so we actually hit the season in the best possible shape. So please keep that in mind because it is the most god-awful reading to listen to people, oh, it's a worry, it's a this, it's a that. Nah, just shut up. It's not. That's all I got.
The thing that excites me most, and this probably segues what EJ said in relation to Smiley, but more wholesome, the whole team, it seems to be that we're training more with a lot more speed and tempo in our play, just from the training vision I've seen, and it's congestion work and congestion work, but then in speed to get it out of congestion and into space. It's quick ball movement. It's quick kicks. So I'm hoping they carry that through because one thing we were so easy to play against because we typical – if the ball was in our defence, we'd kick it to the right pocket and then we'll kick it long and then it's so easy to turn us over. But this time it seems to be a little bit of structured chaos within our play and a lot more spread, particularly within in the inside work. And that, yeah, that every time I watch the clips, the club in training, you could really notice the speed of the ball. And I hope that's what – because we've got a really young side. I think we're going to be younger than – nearly all sides, if we do if we go full in who we pick as our starting 22, and we need to have a game plan to match that. And one of the good things about a really fast game style, we're going to get it open up, we're going to cop some hammerings, but when we do great flashes of play, they're going to look fantastic, and it's something that's going to give them a lot of confidence. And it's going to be fun to play that way. And that's probably what next year is all about. Just fun and development. So it's really been good to see.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that about the transition. It's actually the one thing I noticed on a few videos is when the ball hit the deck, the speed at which pretty much all players were running offensively. And I think Kane McAuliffe was one in particular that stood out to me, Grok, that there was a play where he ran two possessions ahead to anticipate where I know it was training and it's probably easy to do, but to get into the right spot for not the next possession, but you know, one or two after that to then deliver inside 50. Just to see them all getting on their bike and getting out into space was good to see. But has anything taken your fancy, Grok, from a pre-season perspective as well?
From what I've been hearing, the club is really bullish and impressed with the key position players that have come back. Obviously, we talked about Jacob Blight last week with our offline recordings. But apparently, Blight and Bauer are the two that are in that 22, 23-year age range that are really pumped and primed and training the house down, so to speak. And the club are really rating those two at the moment. Obviously, I mentioned Fawcett as well, has really impressed just with his attitude and the way that he's been hitting the ground. And Luke Traynor as well. Apparently the club is really, really wrapped with how he's progressed and the things that he's doing. He's, there's been a bit of a Rance-like comparison to him with the way that he just attacks the ball and his athleticism at ground level. So yeah, the clubs are pretty bullish on a couple of the younger players.
CB, Jacob Bauer is a name of big interest, I think, for all of us. I mean, we all saw the glimpses of what he can do at the top level before he kept getting injured. How excited are you going to be for him to get a proper crack at it? And I think it's safe to say he's going to lock in a spot in the forward line early days, or come round one anyway.
I've got stocks in Bauer. He's in my first 23. He's in. Just comes in a bit like Gibkiss, isn't it? You just hope the kid gets a run at it. We've seen what he can do at a VFL level. I mean, shit, we've watched him slot goals dead in front of us in punt road, like, you know, basically from behind the fence, behind the pie stand. He can kick him. So really athletic, fearless attack in the air at the ball. Really, really, really like this kid. But I want to go to EJ because I know he's bought some stocks in the kid. And would you like to tell us who you've got stocks in, EJ, and what your expectations are?
Where's all the bloody thing?
He's getting choked up. He's getting emotional. Just
I am getting emotional.
Hang on, has he got separate stocks? Because I know he's got stocks in one individual. Have you split your stocks amongst other players?
He's a dead set pimp whore.
I know there are fancy new toys, but I'm an unfashionable man. It may surprise some people.
He's going to pick my bloke. He's going to say my bloke that I got stocks by. I can guarantee it.
Because I was going to throw it at you.
Taking down my JGTI tweet after 7 years when I called it in grand final week, that really hurt. I'm not going to lie. But it's time to move on. Hashtag my boy. Hashtag Kane McAuliffe.
There it is.
He is my boy. He had a just give us a tick, ticks. He had an injury interrupted year. He didn't have a proper preseason. He's just got a couple of traits that to me just stand. He's got 200 games written all over him. I love him. He's never going to be one of our top two or three players, but he's going to be in that best 22, and he's going to do his job every week.
Yeah, spot on.
Plus one for a Kane McAuliffe. Now, Tiggs, I thought he might have dabbled in your man as well, Ben Miller, who's been upgraded to the number 12. Now, you're not onto this.
No.
Oh, hang on, have you changed?
This is before Ben Miller. This is before Ben. Look, but Ben Miller, I'll get to. But before Ben Miller, okay. I called him when some of the blokes on this show were saying he's just an average vanilla spud. And I said, no, I've seen this boy. He's going to look. And one of the players that, you know, that it's like what EJ just said about McAuliffe, you know, you're 22, you can bank on him. It becomes like the heart and soul of that 22. And there's one player that I can see a lot of Chrissy Newman in that was always picked, that did everything for the team, but also was highly he's got a high ceiling and built into his skill set. And I don't think this kid's there yet. He's got a lot more tools to the trade, but I reckon this season, we'll rate him in our top 10 players, and that's Ryan Mansell. I called him from the moment I saw him go for a hard ball, get his head absolutely ripped off, but then get up within a second and run full pace to the next contest. And it wasn't glorious. He would not get any kudos from outside, but internally you'd love that stuff. So Ryan Mansell's my kid for next – well, he's always been my kid, but I reckon by the end of this season he'll be fastly into our top 10. He just looks like he's developed something that he's always missed, his flair in front of goals, that he wants to actually hurt the opposition by foot, not just physically. And I think that's going to really improve our side going on. So he's my boy, Ryan Mansell.
I don't mind
He looks ready to go.
He kicked, 30 goals last year, which was in a year that we were diabolically bad. Now, I had a bit of a thought that he could maybe roll through the midfield at times as well, potentially, just to add a bit of toughness and aggression around the contest.
Spot on. That's...
he's frozen.
$10,000 phone to go with the $10,000 computer.
Yeah. I'll finish off his sentence. Look, I really like him, but he's no Jordan DeGoey or Scott Pendlebury, who I really, 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 really love.
Oh, he's gone down the Collingwood path. I like it. Yeah, he's still frozen, shot. Poor Tiggs. But yeah, I can see Mantle. I'm not saying to turn into a full-time midfielder. I'm not sure if Tiggs can hear us, but we definitely can't hear him. So apologies, Tiggs. He's still frozen on the screen. I'm not saying that Mantle would be a full-time mid, but I reckon that he could be a relief midfielder at different stages, just to add a different dynamic. But yeah, now, Grock, since everyone else has claimed a man, have you got someone you'd like to claim?
I think everyone who's watched the podcast knows that I've been massive on Hugo Ralph Smith.
He's phone overheated.
he's on an Apple or something.
Death, taxes, and Tiggs internet shitting itself in Roxburgh. Oh, Pie. Very good.
That's great. Sorry, Grock.
But no, for me,
Jones Racing, Control Alt Delete 71.
Alt F4. For me, it's always been Hugo. I just felt he was thrown up in the deep end a lot of the time, thrown all over the park. But I think he was definitely stifled under Dimmer with the whole defensive mindset first. He's never going to be that defensive player. His biggest AFL traits are his attacking traits, his ability to run, line break, kick the ball long, and his speed. So, if we're talking about players that haven't really established themselves yet, Steely Green's probably the one. I rate Steely Green. I think he'll be our Liam Baker.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. No, I like him. I like them both. Before we push on, Tiggs, if you're not jumping back on, mate, I appreciate you jumping on for the start anyway to give us an update on how you're going. Very, very good to see you. Good to see you fit and healthy and doing well. And we look forward to having you back in a more frequent capacity in 2025. So we wish you and your family a Merry Christmas as well. So thank you for dropping by, Tiggs. We love you, mate. And so does the rest of the TigerCast family. So thank you. I don't know if I've claimed a player individually yet. I'll have to have a think about it. But I like this. Yeah, a little bit to like about the young kids coming through. Now, the rehab group, I know, CB, you kind of touched on it earlier with people just maybe not freaking out too much about it. I suppose there's been LaFaul's in the rehab group who seems to be doing the best out of the ACL crew. It's sad that we've got an ACL crew, but he seems to be closest to getting back to a game. Gibkiss, there was one report that he had a huge setback and wasn't doing anything, but then people saw him on the track, so I dare say he's on the track and then maybe just being a little bit more cautious, which is fine. Haven't heard much about Young. Lawler seems to be easing into it from his hamstring injury, and obviously he hasn't done a full preseason of footy yet, so they're getting him up to speed too. But yeah, look, a rehab group's a rehab group. Every club's going to have one, and I'm kind of with UCB. While it's not great to see names in that group, it's just part and parcel, and I think we've got to back in Sir Pelham and the team to get them all right and ready for round one.
Mate, even Smills, Smiley, he got a
hip
flexor. He got a knock to the hip.
Yeah.
And everyone was melting down. It's like, just calm down. They're doing full contact training. It's gonna happen. Like, everybody just relax.
Make sure you tag us in that. Aaron, send through that photo, please. Thank you.
The biggest thing for me with the rehab group is it's not really any of the core group of our best 22 that we absolutely need on the park. Whereas this time last year, it was Lynch, it was Prestia, it was Graham, it was all of these players. So I think we're in a pretty good spot right now with the players that aren't in the rehab group.
Yeah.
Now, the club, we mentioned before, they're doing some pretty good content, which is really, really good to see. And a video they put out a few days ago was Forging Forward, which is, I suppose, a series surrounding the draftees and their journey and getting to Richmond. And the first episode focused, I suppose, a bit more on Taj Houghton and Josh Smiley. I think it was just those two from memory. I really, really enjoyed it. Smiley, I know it was a targeted video and they were talking to him specifically, but geez, he talks well and has leader written all over him. I know it's very, very early days, but you can just see he's got that aura about him that could maybe grow into something bigger and better in the future. And Taj Houghton, a really nice story. I mean, he obviously thought he was going to slide a little bit further with the knee injury. And I think it just, it just felt like a really good sign of mutual respect between Rye Geeshan, probably in particular, who messaged him a couple of times even during and after the injury. And for us to still sort of back him in and pick him, I think he feels he owes the club a bit as well. So I fully expect us to get the best out of Tash Houghton, which I think is going to be very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Did you gentlemen watch that one as well?
Not yet.
Yeah, watched it live as it happened. It was very. I just flipped on YouTube and all of a sudden it was there. But no, I like the content they're putting out. It's exciting. And again, for any of their young fans, they've now got a new batch. Just like we all latched onto Dusty. Now, if you're a 10-year-old, 12-year-old young fan, you've got it. Players to latch on to now to your 20s, you know what I mean? So it's really, really exciting, really, really smart content. Really, really smart.
Yeah, and credit has to go to Shane Dunn, who really has put an emphasis back on fan engagement through social media. That sort of lacked in Benny Gale's last probably couple of years. But I think now with Uze and the whole drafting and everything, it's been the perfect time to revamp that. And the club's putting out some absolutely fantastic content.
And not just content, EJ. I know we had the open training session the other day and I saw, I think it was Ando on Twitter, gave a shout out to Shane Dunn as well, saying that for everyone who was turning up, they're getting a free coffee and a free sausage. So just actually making the people who were turning up feel welcome and appreciated for giving their time to come and watch the players. It's a small thing and I know it's a bit of a cost to the club in some way, shape or form, EJ, but things like that mean a lot to supporters, don't they, when they take the time to go and watch the boys train?
100%. I mean, back to what Grock said, I think there was a real disconnect there for a while, and it was actually really noted on social media last season. If you know, people were genuinely frustrated, not that we were losing games, but that Richmond were always trying to control the message, and it wasn't about giving information to fans, it was about creating a narrative. And I think they've gone away from that and they've just gone back to sharing information. And yeah, little things like a coffee or, you know, the kids getting a free bloody flag and shit like that. Yeah, I love it. It does cost a little bit, but the impact of it is far reaching. And in the grand scheme of things, that small investment can pay off multiple times over. People will come to more games, they'll spend more on merchandise. No, there'll be an extra couple of memberships, all that sort of stuff, because people can see that the effort's being made.
I can still remember when we first started back playing, when we became a standalone VFL team, and we're playing at Punt Road as a curtain raiser, and I can still remember Brendan Gale, we're sitting there like a pack of losers, bloody behind the goals, and Brendan Gale's having a kick of the footy with his kid, and he turns around to us, and he said, and he actually asked, he goes, what do you think of this? How's this set up? He actually asked for our opinions. At half time, I was having a kick, and it just felt like we were, by the end of it, we were a million miles away from that type of thing, from someone of Benny's stature. So if Dunny can bring that back, that's tremendous. Tremendous.
And I don't want to go negative here, but I think a lot of it started after what happened in the hub where we stuffed up. And we got bad raps for complaining about accommodation. We had the boys with their issues and all this sort of stuff. And the whole world jumped on us. And it was because we were successful at the time as well. So I think out of that, we've tried, there's been like a barrier, like a protection. And I think if they're starting to strip that back, there'll be that. I think that's what I see.
Yeah, that's what I heard from the hub, the club, once everything came out about, you know, our so-called poor behaviour and sense of entitlement in the hub and the whole Dimmer affair thing, the club did some damage control in their social media policies and stripped it all right back, only the essentials and a few puff pieces. But now it looks like they're getting back to that pre-COVID era of, okay, the fans are part of the club, let's get them involved in the journey. It reminds me back early days of Dimmers where it's like, refresh, reset, and we're all in it together sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's a precarious position because we've come off a horrible year and it's kind of a little bit on them to get our trust back and get us to buy back into it more than anything. So they do have to go a little bit above and beyond, and hopefully this is the new norm for the club, because it's been really enjoyable. And, you know, I found out from someone in the last week or so that even for our show, that the club do watch what we do as well. So if they are watching, we just want to say again, we appreciate all the work that you guys are doing and the content you're putting out. So it's been a breath of fresh air, and long may it continue. All right, well, let's push forward to the Festivus. Happy Festivus, where it's the moment everyone's been waiting for. We get to, oh, sorry, EJ, go.
Can I be self-indulgent for 1 minute?
Sure.
My mate down Mornington Way, he's had a young lady coming up through the pathways, and I've been refreshing and looking at the draft, and she's just been picked up by Hawthorn. So I'm absolutely wrapped for young Ellie Simons. She's a yeah, it's awesome. I just got a big smile on my face. So she actually is she's a good friend of Thomas Sims. On the night that he was drafted and he was at the pub in Wallen, they'd driven up from Mornington to be there for his thing. And I've got a photo of the two of them together. So she's been invested in, you know, some of what Richmond is doing, even though she's a dirty, rotten Carlton supporter. But yeah, just absolutely stoked. She just got picked up, so I'm pretty happy.
That leads me to something as well. Before we get into the Festivus stuff, just another thing that the club is doing well. I'm not sure if anyone saw the announcement a couple of hours before we went to air, but Richmond and the Alana and Madeline Foundation have announced that their partnership has now been extended for another 5 years to the end of 2029. We've been partnered with them for 12 years, over $2 million. So it's a fantastic cause, and a lot of the club get really involved in packing the buddy packs for the kids who have experienced domestic violence and difficulties at home. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic of the club to continue with the initiative.
Very, very good call. It's really, and I know all clubs do it, but it's really good to hear our club getting on the front foot with causes like this and doing as much as they can to help out. So that is a very good recognition there, Grok.
And if the club's listening, I've got one favour. Me and Groupie just want to put in our Lotto jackets from 96. Can we bring back the raw meter, please?
The raw meter. The raw meter.
Honey,
I don't mind that.
Bring back the raw meter. Raw!
That's not the worst idea. Did you? I don't mind it. That's not bad.
They should do that for throwback or retro round or whatever it is called these days.
Yeah. Look, I know I'm a grumpy old man, and I know it's for the kids, and the kids love it, but I just thought it was so naff.
I think Michael's on the who controls the I've got access to our YouTube thing, but he's got control of the Twitter feed. I think you need to put a poll up, mate. Should we bring back the 90s raw meter?
Get the raw meter, and maybe we can use a cutout of EJ's head as the tip of the meter that goes up.
Yes.
Instead of the sliding meter.
Yeah, the slider. We'll do we'll chuck a poll up on the socials. We'll see what comes about. Oh, that's a good idea.
Aaron, mate. As a Brown, what is the raw meter?
Oh.
Tell me you were born after the year 2000 without telling me you were born after the year 2000.
You got a lift, son. You got a lift.
Surely it's on Google. So basically, just at random stages after goals, there'd be a huge graphic on the board saying raw, and the crowd would go nuts, and the meter would creep up higher and just basically try and break the decibels. It was, yeah.
And it was historically known for being very accurate.
Sometimes the boo. Sometimes the boos were louder than the raw meter, depending on performance. The raw meter.
Oh, boy. What a laugh.
Very good.
Very good.
All right. So it is Happy Festivus night. Now, this is going to turn into an annual show. We do have a Festivus show as our last one for the year, where you get to air your grievances. For those who have seen Seinfeld, you'll understand that reference. CB, I think this is kind of your baby, so I'll let you tee off and start us off. And I have a feeling that if CB does mention someone that you other gentlemen want to roast as well, feel free to double up. We don't have to ease off, because I feel like there could be a few of the same people in the targets for a few of us. But CB, I think it's only fair that you kick off the grievances for Festivus.
Okay. I'm actually going to leave off the obvious because I know the two gentlemen below me on the screen want to have a say about a couple things. Damien Hardwick, my first Festivus rant. I still love you. Understand this. I still love you. You did wonderful things for our club, but you just need to back the fuck off out of our club and stop trying to take our people. And it's ruining your legacy. So please, 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 mate, there's 70 other clubs you can rape, pillage, and put your Viking horns on and do whatever you want to do. Girls from accounting, I don't care. Can you just stay the hell away from our club and just, it's just, mate, it's just, the whole thing that's annoyed me with him is it's a bloody bed of lies that he lives on. And I know the AFL had a hand in him leaving us. He's cooked the snags. 6 weeks later, he's at Gold Coast. He's having a cup of coffee with Daniel Riolo. It's all innocent. Oh, no, it's not. He takes a contracted player. He takes our IT guys. And he's approached others within the club. I mean, there's even talk, and maybe you two boys will know more. There's even talk around Livo that he's having a crack trying to get him over. He just needs to just – he's ruining his legacy, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels that way about it. That's my first rant.
Oh, I disagree 100%. Every person that leaves a club tries to take players with them, and he's sitting there saying, oh, he's taking Daniel Riolo from the club that gave us lunchtime and meatballs.
Hey, you can't tell me how I feel, Mr. Wick.
I can't tell you how you feel, but it just makes me laugh. I love it. It makes me laugh.
Very good. All right, so Jim is first up. Who have you got next, CB?
No, I'll throw it to the other boys now. They can go next.
Okay, we're going one for one. All right. EJ.
I'll stay away from the obvious as well. My first rant / award will be the Bridget McKenzie Sports Rorts Award I give to the Geelong Football Club. You people are a disgrace. I mean, there's a report in the Age today that players are loaning player sponsor money. Now, so they have a picture of a contract. It doesn't have little Jolie's signature on it, but there's one of their player sponsors that's under investigation for fraud and all sorts of stuff. And the idea is that the player loans the sponsor $100,000 and gets 15% interest on it in return. What a way. I mean, it's not bad enough that you're going to do cotton on for 40 players on your list that you're going to cook up bullshit bloody loans. Give me a spell.
Someone had to step in for Frank Costa.
Mate, fair income. This scheme is so good. Carlton's even envious of the bullshit that Geelong are pulling right now.
Trying to get him over from Dizzy.
Oh, unbelievable. If you haven't read it in the Age, I'd go and sort it out. It is dead set unbelievable.
That's a very good start, EJ. I like that. I was, when he sent that through, I was just shaking my head. They can't be serious that's legit, but here we are. Grok, are you going the obvious one? Because I haven't written anything about it, so hopefully you do.
Yeah, no, I've gone the obvious, Sam McClure. Now, I spent a good portion of my lunch break at work typing up a nice little script for this. So, let's get this started, Sam McClure. The herpes of the AFL media landscape. No one wants him, he's irritating, and he won't go away. I know we've given shit to Kane Corns about being clickbait, but at what point is this pathologically lying narcissist going to be called out for the inherently false diarrhea that he spews every year as breaking news that ultimately does not come to fruition? Let's run this back with some of his most famous calls. In 2022, he stated that categorically that Jordan Degoe would not be at Collingwood in 2023. Not only did De Goey stay, but he ended up winning a flag with the Pies. This was also where he stated that there was a very large chance that Dustin Martin leaves Richmond, thus beginning the Dusty saga. Fast forward 12 months later, West Coast will not take the risk on drafting Harley Reid at pick one. He spouted this nonsense for weeks, that West Coast would not do it, and up until a week before the draft, he was still adamant that it wasn't going to happen. Harley Reid goes pick number one. He again, after this, he again starts up the Dusty leaving bullshit, saying that Dusty needs to be traded for the club's sake, saying that he could not be on the list in 2024 if we were to be serious. This was such a brain-dead comment, as we had lost a large chunk of experience at the end of 2022 in Kane Lambert, Shane Edwards, and Josh Caddy, and at the end of 2023, we lost Cochin and Riewoldt. It meant Dusty was the most senior player on our list. Now let's talk about 2024. Mid-year, he was adamant that Petraka would not be a demon in 2025 as his meeting with the players left his position at the club untenable. We know how that turned out. Then, of course, he had to start up his Dusty agenda again by saying that Dusty would be at the Suns in 2025. As his he stated this every week that Dusty played after his 300th, after his farewell game, after the Brownlow that Dusty didn't attend, after the Jack Dyle medal, even after Dusty himself said that he was happily retired. He said it again in the lead up to the draft, even though it was impossible as Dusty had not registered for the draft as is required. He has spent the best part of 3 years getting nearly every major call he has made wrong, and his agenda against Dusty has been sickening. His hit rate with accurate news would be lower than Helen Keller playing baseball. I don't know any fan who has anything nice to say about him. And I am surprised he's everywhere in football media. This is what happens when sports journalists favour clicks and views over the actual reporting of facts. It has become a stain on the game I used to love, but the oversaturation of false news and clickbait journos has lessened my joy for the game, especially by the walking billboard advertisement for contraception, Sam Manure.
Well deserved. He wins the gold star for this year's just most stupid bullshit mentioned by a journo. Closely followed by the Ox, who I think deserves to be mentioned in the same kind of breath as well, who was telling people to put their house on it, take the money to the bank and get the interest, double down, triple down, that he was adamant that he was leaving on the back of being on a golfing venture with a couple of Richmond people who said he was gone. I don't think the Ox has quite worked out yet that he was just being fed bullshit and he's just been caught out because, yeah. To double and triple down and then for it to not eventuate. It just never made sense for Dusty. It never made sense for Gold Coast. It was just not happening. And I don't know why they kept persisting with it. They were being fed something from somewhere, but they were just horribly, horribly wrong. And, you know, it's a shame because they really kind of did sour a couple of really good moments on Dusty's career. And he might have given more to the media had they not turned him away so much. But they got themselves to blame.
EJ? Sorry, Grok, just back on yours. And don't forget when he had his big departure from 3RW, he still gave Richmond a serve, didn't he? Yeah. He actually tried to blame it on us.
Yeah, he's like, going out and saying, you know, that we treated Dusty poorly and all of this.
Poorly? Like, did he watch the Hawthorn game?
100%. Like, he's... views are just like his haircut, pretentious and slimy. Like,
I mean, Ox said, put your house on it. Taking gambling advice from David Schwartz is like taking bushfire advice from Scott Morrison. I mean, he's just like, and I've actually met the Ox, and he's a lovely fella, but. The one thing that annoys me about the Ox, Brendan Favola, Spam McClueless, all these guys, is it's okay to be wrong, But when you are wrong, to put your hand up and admit it and say, I got it wrong.
Yeah.
The people that do that are the ones that have credibility, right?
Yeah.
And taking into the middle of Grok's spiel there with McClure, when he said that West Coast won't pick Harley, the arrogance and the smugness, they're not going to pick him, Mitch. Like, it's that, that's the part about it. It's not that it's a considered view. It was the arrogance and the smugness of the way that it's delivered is what gets people offside.
Yeah.
You know, we've got reporters that people have respect for because they're not assholes in the way that they do it. That's the double down factor.
And but, to go further on your point, EJ, I remember last year when Hutchie and Damo were pissing and moaning about not getting enough access to AFL players, comparing it to the NFL. And it's like, hang on, guys. The NFL reporters treat their players with far more respect and dignity than anything that we've ever done. So, of course, they're going to be a bit more open. They've actually got good relationships. They can have banter. They can have open conversations and have a little bit of trust in them. Whereas the guys we've got here are just absolute snipers trying to get any, trying to be first rather than trying to be right. It's like, no wonder they give you no time of day.
There are issues in the NFL as well. I don't know about, you know, 5-10 years ago, if any of you guys have heard of a running back named Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn
Lynch. He was a human wrecking ball, right? And they have a media access day in the Super Bowl, in the lead up to the Super Bowl, where every player has to be available. He sat there for an hour. They asked him questions, and his answer was, I'm just here so I don't get fined. And they'd ask another question, I'm just here so I don't get fined. He repeated the same line for an hour straight.
Jesus Christ.
And I wish Dusty had done that.
He pretty much did without saying it, I guess.
I'll just say on the media landscape in general, I've got problems. So when I've got a thing here from news.com sport, and this is on Twitter, the Tigers are drawing a line under their premiership era, and the actual heading is Dustin Martin wiped from history in rare AFL move. And that's all because we're resting his jumper for 12 months. Yep. Now, it's stuff like that. I just implore any Richard, just don't even click it. Don't do anything. It just needs to die a death. And then they call us feral. Well, no wonder we keep receipts. I mean, let's go to the next guy, Mark Bickley. Fancy saying in November that a club is not going to win a game in the following season and a ball hasn't even been kicked in anger.
Hasn't happened since 1964.
Now, seriously, why would you invite that heat on yourself down the line? And he's like, oh, geez, those Richmond supporters are feral. You know, get all defensive like Ox did. No, you're an idiot. If you want to put that out there, then be prepared for the consequences of a club that has 100,000 members that's going to come back and just jam it up your clacker as hard and fast as they can. Because you deserve it. Mm. And that's all I got to say, really. Just the hottest.
This is where I get torn because, like, I understand the point, don't give them the time of day. But on the other hand, I'm like, you know what? Call them out. If they've made up something that's blatantly bullshit and is wrong, call it out. Because, like, to your point, if you're not going to own up to it, then we'll force you to own up to it pretty much. So I think fair play for calling them out. So does anybody else have any grievances, whether they're footy related or not?
I've got a grievance.
Go on, EJ. Get stuck in.
Right. My next one is the Port Adelaide 2007 or the Buffalo Bills. Why turn up to the Big Dance Award? It goes to the Sydney Swans.
Ugh.
Grand Final Day is an institution in this country. We all get together. We have barbecues. We have too many drinks before the first bounce. And we have friends around. And we sit there and all we want is a good game. Now, in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills turned up 4 years straight and lost the Big Dance 4 years in a row. Sydney have ruined Grand Final Day twice in the last few years. if you're not going to put the effort in, just don't turn up.
Do us all a favour. It's a fair call. It's pretty flattening when you know the game's done at halftime. Although, you know, when we did that to GWS, that was a lot of fun. But as a neutral watching it, it's shit ass.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
I've got a Festivus sweet and sour. Sweet, Brian Taylor, no longer on Friday Night Football. Fantastic. Sour, they replaced it with an even bigger dickhead in Kane Corns. So I just think the one thing I'll say, everyone's sort of been going mental about, you know, the AFL going woke and now you've got different calls and things like that. But can I just say, if Friday Night Football's got Kane Corns on it, sorry, Channel 7, I am going to be listening to the Jared Healy call every day of the week. So I do not hear, I don't listen to Kane Corns on radio. I just do not do anything, have anything to do with it. And yeah, I can't support dickheads like that. So for me, I'll be on Team Watley on Friday Night Football or what have you. Cannot support that Channel 7 lineup.
Fair enough. Grok, any other grievances?
Yeah, as a Victorian who loves his cricket, I am pissed that Scotty Boland got dropped. I am sorry, but Mr. Consistent, whose line and length has troubled India, troubled England, and he gets dropped. I'm sorry, but that's just a piss poor call. Like, he is the one that builds the pressure for Stark and Cummins to take those wickets, and he gets dropped. I'm sorry, but I think that's just a bullshit call.
Yep.
That's fair enough. I'm going to take aim at Coles and Woolworths briefly. Since when has a packet of chips being on special for $6 been a special price or at half price? I couldn't believe what I was reading when I see the nice little yellow ticket, like, oh, hello, what's on special this week? And you got a regular size bag of chips for half price at $6. Like, how is that the normal way in the world we live in these days? It's just crazy. And then to go further on that, the pancake parlor, you can piss off as well. The price you pay at the pancake parlor for the portion size you get is an absolute joke. We went on the weekend, disgusting. They bought out deluxe fries. We had to ask if it was an entree size, it was actually a meal, or what the go was. Horrible. Do not recommend.
Right. A new craze that's starting. If you're doing it, stop it. Glitter gravy. There's now an edible glitter gravy, and let me tell you, if I see that shit on my plate, I'm fucking piffing it into the wall. Gravy is gravy. Do not glitter gravy ever.
So people are putting actual edible bits of glitter into the gravy.
Yep.
Yes, edible, it's a real thing. Look up glitter gravy.
Look, I'm all for putting edibles into gravy, but I don't think having the same conversation.
Absolutely.
What restaurants are doing this?
It's just a
reason Sizzler went out of business.
Oh, Sizzler, bring them back. How good were they? How good was the pan bread?
How good was the Sizzler? Oh.
Yeah. It was just about the bread.
With the little flag on it.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
I've got one more.
Yep, go on.
Bah humbug to whoever discontinued Celebrations Christmas chocolate. Now, don't get me started on the price of chocolate these days. You know, $17 half price for the family size roses, $34 for a bloody box. But the best part of a Celebrations box was the Maltesers and the Bounties, and you can't buy them anymore. You can't buy the Celebrations box or the tins, which is complete bullshit. That's Christmas ruined.
Yeah, that's on Australia.
All you people.
You've started something off here, Grok. Whilst you're
out, Mars bars are not the same as Mars bars.
They're not. They taste completely different.
C grade bar.
Right. They're Mars bars from Wish.
Whilst Grok's on his grocery bloody rampage, shrinkflation. Right. Have you seen the size of a Big Mac now compared to what it used to be? It's a fucking slight. Excuse me. It's a bloody. I apologise. I don't normally do that. It's a bloody slider. Have you seen the size of a Kingston biscuit? It's like one of those little macarons, like
robbery.
So they don't put the price up. They take the size of the item down, and it really, really annoys me. Shrinkflation.
Aldi, you're not fooling anybody by having a packet of chips a meter big, and it's like nearly a whole meter of air and a few chips at the bottom. You're not fooling anybody, Aldi. Do better.
Actually, I got one more grievance that's food related. The people who work at Uber Eats or DoorDash, have a look when you're dropping shit off at people's houses. Have a look at the orientation of the doors and don't make me go full fucking MacGyver to get my hand under the screen door to move the bag to the side to be able to then get it inside. Have a look at how the door's set up and just put it to the side so we don't have to crawl and try and knock things over. Just work
it
out.
That's all very well and good. I agree with you 100%, Michaels, but just because I dropped an F-bomb doesn't mean that you had to.
Oh, well, it just wowed me because it just happens all the time.
The real grievances have come late here.
You people on the road, I deal with you every day. Two things. Truck drivers, you fucking morons. Don't get in the right lane. Stay out of the right lane. Stay in the left lane so us quicker vehicles can get around you, particularly at lights. Do not go truck, blocking both lanes. You know who you are in Traralgon, you sons of guns. Secondly, when you're on a highway and it's a 110 zone and you can only do 90, don't be in the right lane. Stick to the left lane, but everybody else who wants to just do the speed limit, not even speed, just the speed limit. Stay out of our lane, because then we have to overtake you on the inside. We look like maniacs. Stay in your lane, you morons.
And if you're doing 95, right, and then you come to an overtaking lane, don't speed up to 110 when we're trying to go past you. Okay?
Oh, or if you're doing 90 on the highway, don't do 90 in the 60 zone so no one can get you into town. Don't do that.
This is our life. CB, driving on the road every day, dealing with idiots.
Every day. Truck drivers and morons. God damn.
I like how we've gone completely away from footy grievances. This is great. Go on, Grok. What else you got?
One last food one. I stopped off at a cafe on my way to work this morning, and I saw the biggest shock of my fucking life. I was looking, got my coffee, and I was like, do I get lunch? No, I'll order something at work. Fish and chips, $27.50 comes with a salad and everything. I'm like, that's not too bad. Two pieces of sourdough toast with smashed avocado and poached eggs, $28.50. In what world is avocado toast and poached eggs more expensive than bloody fish and chips? Wow. That is insanity. All you hipsters have ruined things for people who want genuine cheap cafe food now. You've ruined it.
Oh my God.
Can I say I'm incredibly proud that after leading off the F-bomb brigade,
the train,
we're now a perfect 4-for-4.
No man left behind, EJ. It's one in all in for the last show, one in all in. Oh, no, that's good. I feel better now that we've gotten that off our chest. Maybe we should bring that to the table a bit more often and just helping society with all different problems that are out there.
If I'm on the freeway and you see me coming and you're there looking to turn left in, don't pull out in front of me where I have to do 60 on the road. Wait the 2 seconds. I go past you. You're coming behind. There's no one behind me. Don't do it. You're only making me mad. It's bad enough that I'm listening to right-wing nutjob podcasts. I'm already amped up in a state of frenzy. Don't do that. Gosh.
All right. I reckon that is
tee off.
That is about a wrap for 2024. So, again, I know we said it a couple of weeks ago, but thank you, gents, so much for coming on tonight. And, again, a massive shout-out to Tiggs, who jumped on at the start as well. Good to see you back on, mate, and we look forward to having you back on more often in 2025. Good to see you. Yeah, you're fighting fit and healthy and getting back on board. But to CB, Grok, EJ, thank you so much, guys. And to Carl as well, who I know popped on a few times during the year. You know, the show doesn't sort of go on without you guys doing the work you do, so I appreciate it. I know that everybody watching loves and appreciates the work you do as well. It's been really, really good fun, so I thank you all. Massive thank you to the listeners as well for tuning in on whatever platform you're on. Without you guys, we wouldn't be really doing it. So it's been so nice to see growth year on year with the amount of people watching live, the engagement on all the socials, and then obviously we're putting a few more videos up on YouTube now, and people seem to be liking that as well. So we'll keep doing that. And then I don't know if I hope. So next year, I've actually got it's not going to work because I've got a green screen on, but I've got a GoPro camera with a couple of microphones so we can actually do some live interviews and stuff at halftime outside the ground for the games that we're at so we can get some hot takes from people. So keep an eye out for that as well. And I do think I'm hoping I'm not going too early on this, but I feel like we might see some type of merch happening in 2025. That is our aim. We are working behind the scenes to get some stuff up and running. I'm just waiting for, we're going to tweak the logo ever so slightly to make it look a little bit more slick and fashionable. And we'll start working on a few things from there as well. Maybe some live calls, but thank you to everybody for tuning in all year. It's been good fun and we wish you all a very happy and safe Christmas and New Year. And we'll see you all for 2025. But any final thoughts, gents, or any words?
South Melbourne Dimmies. You're not even the best Dim Sims.
Oh, hang on. Sims.
You know what? You want to prove it? Send me a free bag. Then I'll let you know.
Trying to hit some freebies. I like that's fair enough.
That is the worst pitch for free food I have ever heard.
Yes. Victoria Bitter. You're not even the best beer. Yeah, if you send me
okay, groupie. That's the groupie you'd be slagging off the being left to get free beer for his whole life. Hello, groupie.
Look, I just want to say it's an honour and a privilege doing this show and interacting with people most weeks when I get on. Something I've been doing with Michaels for years now. I really, really appreciate every single one of you viewers. Love the engagement. Thank you so much. So I really want to thank you guys for sticking with us and growing the show. So love it. Thank you very much and have a wonderful Christmas or Festivus and be safe and enjoy your New Year's. Really. Yeah, we've got a big season coming up, so enjoy it.
And also, one last shout-out. I just checked our YouTube page. This is video number 300.
Hey, there we go.
It'll be episode 300. So
wow, video 300. And over 1,500 subscribers as well on YouTube as well, which is awesome. So I can't think
you people, get us to 1,000. You're weak as piss.
Very, very good. So, yeah, make sure, keep an eye out for us in person, hopefully, at games next year. We'll do some bits and pieces there. But otherwise, there'll be some other videos that will drop over Christmas, New Year, and then we'll fire up sometime in Jan or Feb, probably just before that Collingwood practice game, I suppose, is probably usually when we jump on to see what's going on in the world of football. But, yeah, have a safe and happy Christmas, New Year, everybody. And we will see you in 2025. Until next year, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
You people. Go Tigers.